Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey, everybody. Welcome to More Than That, and this is a podcast that is to be a supplement to the Sunday sermon, and I'm sitting here with...
Pastor Rafael Mukalla.
And I am Tyler Henry, and like I said, this is a supplement to the Sunday sermon, and during the podcast, we're going to ask Rafael what he would have touched on if he had 10 more minutes. So, Rafael.
Yep.
What did you have to cut this week in order to kind of fit it into the time schedule? So, 10 more minutes, go.
So for me, like, it'd probably be how I'm blown away by, this was a hard passage, first of all. A passage that was dealing with a lot going on. But yet, really, like, if you look into our passage, I think if I had spent more time, I would have spent more time on verse 1, which is Exodus 20:21, which is actually like, it's where God says, these are the ordinances that you must present to Israel. That word, regulations, ordinances, and that word at the end of the day really is like what... you know, it just basically like it means the practical ways by which people are to live with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the Ten Commandments and applying them a little bit more. And so, and of which now, like when you get to the New Testament, for me, like what I was just kind of looking at, God was wanting to put some community boundaries on the people, on like, hey, guys, I know you heard me say, do not murder. And I know you're wanting to see how it looks like on the ground. This is what it would look like towards the disadvantaged. This is what it would look like in your daily dealings, whether it's inheritance and all that stuff with your parents, or whether this is what it looks like. And then also in your disagreements, this is what it looks like. Because all these things could lead totally to murder. And then if that happens, this is how you'd prosecute that.
Mm-hmm.
But then what's so interesting is that, like, as Jesus is actually like right before he goes and he dies on the cross, what does it do? He gives actually like the, what we now look at in the New Testament as ordinances. Like he gives and he says on the night he was betrayed, he takes bread, he breaks it, and he says, do this in remembrance of me, which is the Lord's Supper. And then baptism, going to all the worlds and what? And baptize, and then obviously teaching them. Mm-hmm. That's why we preach. But like, so I've just been thinking about this. And this is really just like looking at the sacraments, like the main sacraments that God has given us, baptism,
mm-hmm.
as a way by which actually, like, I think I would have really kind of dug in deep in terms of like, what about us in the New Testament? Yes, we're seeing what God is doing in the Old Testament, but for us in the New Testament, God is also has left some things for us that will continually rescue us from devaluing others, and then devaluing or seeing them with that, like, apart from the dignity that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he uses like that, like, hey, the background to that is that God had saved them from slavery. For us in Christ is that we've all been saved, which is through, we all go through baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Paul uses baptism as a way to actually try to resolve a lot of conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God I didn't baptize any of you, but you were baptized into the same body, into mm-hmm. the all that. He uses baptism, but not only that. He uses the Lord's Supper as actually also a way. He calls people to remember their baptism, but then he uses the Lord's Supper as also another way to heal the divisions in the church. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's actually like, because I mentioned it just a little bit, but if you go behind 1 Corinthians 11, but he actually says that like, in verse 17, but following the instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. Check this out. First, I hear there are divisions amongst you when you meet as a church, but to some extent, I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions amongst you, so that you have you who have God's approval will be recognized. It's like, yeah, there's something that should recognize an unbeliever to a believer. But when you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry and you eat on your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry and others get drunk, right? And then what are you thinking? Do you not have your own homes to eat and drinking? What was happening there is that like slaves would show up late. They would be released late from actually what? They believed those that were rich that they would eat first, and then those ones would show up late and they would go, basically they would go hungry because these were meals. But it was also communion was served during that time. So some people would actually never even make it to that. And Paul actually just begins to say that, like, man, don't you, you know, he says, like, do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this, for I pass on to you what I also received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, he broke it, and this is my body given to you. Do it in remembrance of me. That bread was meant to actually say, hey guys, we're all cut from the same loaf, right? There is no Jew, Gentile, Hebrew, slave, like, you know, mm-hmm. like all that stuff, like there is no slave or free, male or female, all of us are equal before him. That's what actually Jesus was also doing. He was also making sure that the dignity of people, despite their station, despite even disagreements and dealings and all that stuff, that at the end of the day, it still remains what? That no one should actually come into the church and walk away feeling like they've been undignified.
Yeah.
They should be dignified. So that's really at the end of the day, like the gospel culture of that, like I would have spent a little bit more time pressing into the gospel culture of that. That like, that calls us like actually, we should be, the church should be a dignifying entity mm-hmm. in a world of in a world where we like scales and what you call it, categories mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
Yeah.
The church should become the most dignifying entity. That's mm-hmm. really it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, within our society, you can't get away from the hierarchical side mm-hmm. of things. Mm-hmm. Like, you're always like at work. Like, yes. I work for the church.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I do work other places as well, but I do have employment at the church.
Mm.
And as the lead pastor, you're my boss. You are above me, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that in Christ, you're above me because you're a pastor. Yeah. It's like,
there you go. Mm.
We are equal we're on equal footing because of the cross.
Mm.
And I can stand next to somebody like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
At the cross. If Elon Musk comes to the cross.
Yeah.
And I can look over, recognize Elon, but I'm standing next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, that. It's giving me chills just thinking about it and just what the cross actually does.
That is the mind blowing thing about Jesus. And I think even when we look at that Exodus 21, that was also the meant to be the mind blowing thing for them. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
That was meant to be like all of you guys, like by grace you were saved. By grace you were saved in Christianity. And so therefore we start there.
Mm-hmm.
And that should actually, I think that's why now I used even just the lens of the God story, the story of God, which is like creation, you know, fall, consummation,
yeah.
You know, like, and just really just like looking at all that and just be able to say, hey guys, we should constantly be looking at each other totally different. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm a note taker whenever I'm listening to a sermon or anything, and even whenever we were at that conference last week, I was still taking notes and trying to listen, and because they did move fast. But one of the things that you did bring up was the restoration of human dignity that is present within the gospel. Whenever we see people through the lens of God, so. What does that look like in the local church setting? Especially because our church is very unique. So what does that look like from the city church perspective to see everybody that walks through our doors through the lens of God?
First of all, probably like just to see them with their created value, which is actually like, I know you're such a brilliant scholar, Tyler. You've been reading Dignity and Destiny. and I love that, like, just to see them, first of all, we can tend to see people as problems. See people as problems, see people as projects, see people as anything other than that is a person created in the image of God. That is a person that if they were just by themselves here in this world, Christ would have died for them. Like, he loves them uniquely, individually, with all their problems. Come to me, all who are weary. Like, so for me, like, I think in the local church, we need to be also just be able to, like, actually, like, maybe sees describing people using their problems and begin to use their names, who they are, and see them through the lens of Jesus, and of which Jesus doesn't look at them, right? Jesus doesn't look up the tree and see Zacchaeus as, and he doesn't look up and he's like, ah, tax collector, come down. He's like, Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
Calls him by name. Like, right? Like, there is this, I think that personality, like that personal particular kind of like, that becomes very important. And and then just really maybe, and then also as well, like I would say this, disadvantage. And then dealings wise in the local church, we really like deal with each other in integrity, right?
Yeah.
Like, and then like that means that like also that those dealings also we are submitting to the reverence of Christ, even in how we talk to each other. Like, it doesn't matter that I'm described as your boss. I cannot talk to you in a degrading way, or in a way, but then be open also to be able to receive, hey, I don't think you talk to me in a really good way. And then also in our disagreements as well. I think in the local church, that needs to also like we're not quick to, you know, in disagreements, we're not quick to literally execute, character assassinate one another. Right? That was also another thing that I was also just character assassinate because we think the worst of that person. No, we use the lens of the dignity God has given and not describe people using their worst moments. Just really just now be able to kind of still, like, make sure the worst that you perceive or the worst that someone has done is still balanced by the fact that you still think the best out of them. As in, like, man, there might be something wrong that I'm missing here. When you're talking to someone, instead of saying, you did this, say, hey, I might be missing something here. Mm-hmm. This is how I'm perceiving this situation. Oh, no, that's not what I mean. Okay, let's ditch that. Instead of actually kind of mm-hmm. coming down like King Kong, smash, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, that's how at least I would kind of look at that.
Yeah, and one of the things that I was thinking of as you were talking about, like, the descriptors that we tend to attach to people,
mm-hmm.
especially regarding whenever we look at people through the lens that God has for us,
mm-hmm.
Is that we, the descriptions or descriptors that we attach to people, those adjectives of drug addict, porn yeah. addict, mm-hmm. whatever it is, God sees those as, they might be like attributes of yeah. you, but they're mm-hmm. not an identifying part of your being.
There you go.
And yeah.
mm-hmm.
the only, other than our name, and who we are individually,
yeah.
he sees us as image bearers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to throw a Kilner quote at you because I literally just read this the other day.
Bring it on.
Because yeah. You know I'm reading through Dignity and Destiny by him.
Which is, I would recommend that if you struggle with just really like a view of people, regardless of where they are in life, that would be a book.
And anyway, I would, yeah, I would, and I'd even go so far as to say that if you are going into ministry,
yeah,
or if you work with people,
mm-hmm.
And you're in customer service or whatever, mm-hmm. this is a book that you should be reading before, during, after, whatever.
Yeah.
But Kilner said this, and I want to get your thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm.
That one is addressing God, whether one curses God or curses someone in God's image, because of the connection between the two.
Yeah, it's inseparable. That at the end of the day, in there,
mm-hmm.
do not murder is literally trying to take a life that God has breathed in.
Yeah.
I am literally sucking out life, and I am totally in the opposite of what God does.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually even like the whole slavery thing. He's a God who frees. So don't try to keep someone bound.
Mm-hmm.
He's a God who is looking towards the fruitfulness of mankind.
Yeah.
So why are you stifling the fruitfulness?
Yeah.
Like, and so, yeah, I like that. That's just basically at the end of the day, cursing your mother or father is actually cursing the authority
mm-hmm.
that, like, you're cursing the very person who gave you that mm-hmm. authority. You know, it's just like every single thing in there, like, actually was designed. Man, that's good. Was designed actually just basically saying, if you do this, ultimately you're doing it to him.
Yeah, and that, like, you know, we went through Practicing Affirmation,
mm-hmm.
that book
mm-hmm.
by Crabtree.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, whenever you see somebody doing something that is Christ-like and
mm-hmm.
you affirm them in that,
yeah.
you are affirming Christ.
Yeah, you're affirming, like, Christ, yeah.
So it's,
yeah.
It goes hand in hand. It, like, whenever it's not cursing necessarily, but it's the opposite.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't have one without the other type thing, like
yeah.
good and evil. But, like, you know, when you're when you're praising somebody, whether they are a Christian or not, because all humans are made in the image
mm-hmm,
of God,
mm-hmm.
regardless.
Yeah.
So if you're praising an attribute, I already mentioned Elon Musk and the creativity that
yeah.
Elon exudes.
Yeah.
It's like, praise Elon for that, because that's the exact same type of creativity that God exercised when he created the world.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's also just that I love the fact that you've called even affirmation. That's probably one of the best ways we can actually also be salt and light
mm-hmm.
around people. It's just like, man, like, can you imagine, like, if people around you just walk away feeling dignified? That's my whole
yeah.
thing. Man, you know what I love about you, man? I love the fact that you've got a passion for justice. Man, you
mm-hmm.
fight hard for the underprivileged. You do this. You know what you remind me of? Man, that's like God in the scriptures. Somebody walking away and saying, like, I don't believe in their God, but man, that feels... Can you imagine if we would stop being jerks and just do that? Like, just take time to affirm even your neighbors or people that are around you. And then so that, like, at the end of the day, people, when they walk away from you, they walk away saying, you know, man, like, anytime. Listen, I've experienced racism. I've experienced poverty. I've experienced, like, rejection and all those things. I told this to one of my friends, you know, who was my first white friendships. Like, because at first, like, and not only that, even my wife as well was one of my first very intimate, like friends, like, where I was like, man, I know I've struggled with racism. But you know what? Man, I just can't hold on to this bitterness towards white people in as a whole, because I've met this person who's just dignified me. And they've helped me recognize not all of them are the same.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, be the rewriter of the narrative by your dignifying of people.
Yeah.
Man, I've met Christians. Let a person, LGBTQ person, who just, like, basically is like, you know what? Man, I thought all Christians were like, but this person, man, they just kind of like, they've got this. And then one of these days they're going to discover just that's the aroma of Christ coming out of them. Like that, that there is actually like where that dignity. And then obviously, like, anyway.
It goes back to the identifying adjectives. You're throwing things, black, white, LGBTQ, whatever.
Yeah.
And if that becomes your identity rather than image of God, you're already starting on a foot or in a place where you're not intended to be.
Yeah. You're already starting on a tertiary identification identifier.
Yeah. I would even go so far as to say it's not an identifier. Mm-hmm. It's just an adjective.
Yeah. There you go. Adjective. Starting. A person is not an adjective.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
That's it.
It might very well be a part of your experience.
Yeah.
But that doesn't identify you as anything less.
Yeah.
Than in the image of God.
That's
good. That's one of the, like, as I'm reading through the Bible and with the image of God in mind, that is the one theme that I see over and over and over is that's God good. Coming to the rescue of his image.
Yeah, that's good. That's what's up, man.
So yeah, dude, thank you for that. I was writing furiously this past Sunday with so many ideas and thoughts and stuff like that, so that was great. But yeah, thank you for everything you do here at the church. If you guys listening have a question or a comment, you can feel free to send us a question on the email or call it in
church center,
whatever it is. Get a hold of us if you have a question about this. Come see us on Sunday and ask us in person. That'd be great. We'd love to talk to you. So, Raphael, thank you so much and have a good week, guys.